Amen. All right, we're going to continue this morning on this thing of dispensations. I'm going to probably pick up the pace a little bit up to this point. There's been so much to cover dealing with the law, and we're going to be finishing up this morning, Lord willing, on Christ's earthly ministry to Israel. And then from here, it's going to really pick up speed. We're going to go over the church age, which won't take long. And then we go into the tribulation time period, which I'm not going to spend a lot of time on. I'm probably going to just cover the points that are found in the book that you have so you can fill in the blanks. But I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on the teaching during that time period because I've asked my dad if he would take a few weeks and teach about the tribulation time period. And we're working on a small booklet or a tract that is designed just for the tribulation. And we're going to print those out and have one available for everybody. But it is strictly for the tribulation, what they have to do to make it through the tribulation. It's not for the church age salvation. And so we're gonna have that ready and printed, and then he's going to take a few weeks and teach on that. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the tribulation. And then when we talk about the millennium Christ earthly kingdom, there's not a whole lot to cover there either as far as what I'm doing. And then eternity is eternity. Amen. Eternity with the Lord, the new heaven and new earth. So hopefully I just have a couple more weeks to go on this, and then he'll be teaching for a few weeks on a couple different subjects I've asked him to teach on. And then after that, Lord willing, starting in January, Brother Steve Gaddis is going to teach for a few weeks. And he's going to be teaching on finances in the Bible, which I think is a good thing. Amen. So he'll be doing that. So we're going to hear from some different men. And then I may teach again for a little while. We'll see. And then Brother Stephen's going to be teaching also again. I appreciate these men and giving and them studying and God giving them things to help our church. All right, so we're a dispensation of Christ's earthly ministry is where we left off. I'm just going to slide through these again real quick and go through. I pray that this study has been a help to folks when it comes to studying their Bible. You don't have to be afraid of your Bible. If there's too many people, when they read it, they're afraid of it because they don't know what applies to them, what doesn't. And they read across certain things and they realize, well, I'm not doing this. Am I in trouble with the Lord? Or am I not right with God? Or am I not saved? And a child of God does not have to be that way when it comes to their Bible. So dispensation of innocency, we covered it. Dispensation of conscience, dispensation of human government. Again, all these different dispensations are things that God dealt differently with man. And up to this point of the human government, God dealt with all of mankind at one time. The dispensation of innocence, conscience, human government, he was dealing with all of mankind. And then God called out a people. He called out a people, the dispensation of promise. He begins to deal with just the Jews, the nation of Israel. Abraham was called out. Then he gave them the law. And the law continued from when God gave it out to Moses all the way up till through Christ's earthly ministry. Christ died on the cross. He fulfilled the law in those things there. The dispensation of Christ's earthly ministry is what follows the law. It is a continuation of the law. And we've already covered some of this, but I left the slides in there just in case you don't have the notes on it. The dispensation covers Matthew 1 through Acts 8. And I do understand that in the book I gave out there was some errors on it. And if somebody would, when we finish with all this, get with me if you've got what those are in the book so I can correct it for the next time I do this or if I decide to print some of these to give out. Dispensation covers Matthew 1 through Acts 8. It begins with the calling out of John the Baptist in Luke chapter 16. And we already looked at all this. All this is online if you want to go back and watch it. Ends with the stoning of Stephen and the conversion of Paul. All right? And again, when I talked about Christ's earthly ministry, going past Calvary, and I believe we covered this, we showed that Israel was given another opportunity to accept Christ as their Messiah. You had Peter preaching full of the Holy Spirit, Stephen preaching full of the Holy Spirit, God the Father, the Old Testament, Christ during his earthly ministry, and then the Holy Spirit was given as another opportunity. And they were still preaching a continuation of what John was preaching in the gospel of the kingdom, which was an earthly kingdom, a physical king sitting on a throne, an earthly throne. And that is what they were preaching. They were preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the king and a kingdom that he would establish. They were not preaching the gospel of the grace of God as we know it today. Yet, that was given to Paul. That mystery was given to Paul. This dispensation covenant is a continuation of the covenants that were given under the law. And we listed all those before and went over those when we were covering the law. The plan of salvation during this time, there was still faith, but there was also still an element of works involved with John's baptism being a part of it as well. And there were still things that they had to do in accepting Christ as their Messiah. They're still under the Old Testament law. The gospel of the kingdom was still being preached. Man's disobedience was rejecting Christ as their Messiah. And again, they could not keep the law. All right, so I believe this is where we left off. Is that right? Okay, I believe this is where we left off. So we're going to pick up today and finish this one on Christ's earthly ministry. God's judgment during this time. Remember, every dispensation, with the exception of the last one, ends with man's disobedience and God's judgment. Man's disobedience and God's judgment. Every dispensation begins with God's grace and His mercy, giving man another opportunity. And so God's judgment was the death of Christ on Calvary. Another part of this judgment was placing the prophetic program with Israel on hold. He placing Israel on the shelf, if you want to say it that way. And look with me in the book of Romans chapter number 11. We've already looked at some of these verses many times, but Romans chapter number 11. But Israel is placed on the shelf. And again, in all these studies we're doing on dispensations, there could be multiple weeks given to each and every one of these things. This is simply an overview of dispensations. This is a part of a bigger study called Rightly Dividing the Word. And this is an overview of each dispensation. Romans chapter 11, verse 1, I say then, if God cast away His people, talking about the nation of Israel, God forbid, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin. And so he starts off the chapter saying that God hath not cast away Israel. And we're not going to read all of it for sake of time. But this entire chapter deals with what God did with the nation of Israel. How He put them aside for now and grafted in the Gentiles, which is who we are, the church, until the fullness of the Gentiles be fulfilled. The rapture is going to take place. God is going to deal with the nation of Israel through the tribulation, and He's going to graft them back in, the natural branches grafted right back into that tree. And that deals with this chapter deals with those things in great detail. And I'm not going to go through and read all the verses right now. But Israel right now is placed on the shelf. And the Bible tells us that one of the reasons this is done, that He put them on the shelf and revealed to Paul the mystery of the gospel of the grace of God by which we're saved, which is different from any other time period, was to provoke the nation of Israel to jealousy. To provoke them to jealousy. So God did this to try to move them to jealousy. And then He's going to go right back to dealing with the nation of Israel again. If somebody is saved today, they're going to be saved the same way that you and I are. Look at verse number 24. Romans 11, 24. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, the nation of Israel, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree. And there's a whole other study and could be done on this graft, this grafting. When we were in Israel in the Garden of Gethsemane, they make a lot of claims in Israel, but I don't know how many of them can be proven. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, supposedly there's an olive tree there in that garden that over time they have grafted other olive trees into it and continued to keep that tree going. And it's supposedly the same exact tree that was sitting there the day that Jesus was there in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. Again, I don't know how they proved that. I mean, it might be the same one all these years. I don't know. But the grafting process, they told us about that. And that's very interesting what they do. And so He uses that example here in Romans 11 to say they took a natural branch and took it out, which is Israel, and us, who's a foreign branch, and put it in. And then when that is done, look at verse number 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this. What does it say? Y'all there with me? This mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. That is a separate group. And the fullness of, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And then after that, and so all Israel shall be saved. All right? And so you can continue reading about that there. Grafted us back out, the rapture of the church is going to take place, and then God's going to go back to dealing with the nation of Israel, take the natural branch and put it back in. All right? So Israel's placed on a shelf as part of God's judgment. Israel was given a chance to repent. A chance to repent. Look with me in Luke chapter number 23. Luke chapter number 23. Luke chapter 23 and verse number 34. Now when you read in the Gospels and even in the Old Testament, the prophecies of Christ's death on the cross, you'll see over and over again where it says that Christ died for many. You'll see where it says that He died for like Israel and things like that. During the Gospels, when they write and they say that Christ died for many, Christ came for the nation of Israel. And His death on the cross was a covenant with the nation of Israel. Now, we read because of Romans what the cross means for us, this mystery time period that no one until Paul knew about this. And so now we understand what the cross did for us and how we can become a son of God and how we can be a part of the bride of Christ. And but that they didn't know about that before then. So when Christ came, He came for the Jews. There was times, and again, there's not time to get into every verse that goes into this study, but there was times where Jesus told His disciples, do not go to the Gentiles. That's not who we're here for. And that's hard to swallow. He said, do not go to the Gentiles. That's not who we're here for. He called that woman a Gentile dog. That's not who He was there for. And so they were there for the Jews, so that many that it talks about is talking about the nation of Israel. Christ came for them, and that's what the cross was for them. And so on the cross, with that in mind, again, there's so many verses we could look at on this stuff that would take weeks and weeks. Luke 23, verse number 34, then said Jesus from the cross, Father, forgive them. Who's the them? It's the nation of Israel. They did not accept Him as their Messiah. The high priests and the Jews, they're the ones that gave Christ up. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted His raiment and cast lots. Jesus Christ prayed on the cross that God would forgive them. And do you think that God would answer the prayer of His Son for Israel? He did. And I believe that God did forgive them and give them one more chance. And there's a parable of this in Luke chapter number 13 that I believe matches with this. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Look at Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter number 13, Christ asked, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. After Christ died on the cross, He buried, rose again. We know that He went to hell. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. His soul was not left in hell. His soul did go to hell for you and I. And He came back up, and then Peter and them and John are continuing to preach the gospel of the kingdom. God didn't put them, Israel, on the shelf right then. He gave them another opportunity. God the Father of the Old Testament, Christ's earthly ministry, Christ the Son, after the death, burial, and resurrection, when Christ ascended, He sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the third opportunity for the nation of Israel. Luke chapter 13 and verse number 6. He spake also this parable, a certain man. All right, that's God the Father. A certain man had a fig tree, that is Israel, or Judah, planted in his vineyard. That's Israel. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years. How long was Christ's earthly ministry? It's 3 years, right? 3.5 years. Behold, these 3 years, I come seeking fruit on this fig tree. All right, that fig tree being Israel, the nation of Judah, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it to the ground? And he, talking about Christ, answering said unto him, Lord, talking about God the Father, let it alone this year. Now, the amount of time that passed from Acts chapter 1 when Christ ascended to Acts chapter 7 at the stoning of Stephen is believed to be about 1 year. An opportunity. 1 year from when Christ ascended there and he gave them power, the Holy Spirit came, and they began to preach the kingdom from Acts 1 to Acts 7 is believed to be about 1 year long. And that matches right up with this. Let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. After Acts 7, we find out in Romans 11, God cut out Israel, right? And grafted us in until the fullness of the Gentiles come, and then he's going to graft us out and graft Israel back in. This is a prophecy, I believe, or a parable of what we see when he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was giving them one more opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah. Israel cannot say that they were not given opportunities. You followed with us in the Bible reading as we read through the entire Old Testament, and now in Christ's earthly ministry, Israel was given more opportunities than what they deserve. And God does that for us too. Gives us more opportunities than what we deserve. But I'm thankful that we cannot lose our salvation. All right, so that should finish up Christ's earthly ministry. Again, there's so many verses that flood my mind as we go through here, and so many other things that could be talked about, but there's just not time to do all that. There could be whole lessons given to just these certain things. All right, so Israel was grafted out, Romans chapter number 11. And this should be the last one you have on your thing there. All right. The dispensation of grace. Dispensation of the grace of God. So now we find that God has placed Israel on the shelf, grafted them out, cut them out. And now he turns to Paul the Apostle. He is the Apostle to the Gentiles. We read in Galatians chapter number 2. And God saves Paul. And then he gives him the gospel by which we are saved today. There is a great debate that takes place in Acts chapter 15. We've already covered some of this, but for sake of the study, where Peter determines that they, the Jews, are going to be saved the same way we are because God told that to Paul. Now, if salvation has been the same ever since the beginning, why would Peter have to make that statement that we're going to get saved the same way they do? Why? Because it's something different than what they were saved. It's not that, hey, the Gentiles are now going to be saved like we are. That's not what he said. He said that we're going to be saved even as they are. God revealed that to Paul. God had to do some things with Peter. The book of Acts is a transition book going from God dealing with the nation of Israel, still under the gospel of the kingdom message, to God dealing with the Jews and Gentiles in one body, the body of Christ. So Paul gets saved in Acts chapter 9, and there is a transition from Acts 9 all the way to the end of the book of Acts. Peter goes one way, Paul goes another way. I've showed you those verses already. I'm not going to go over them again. If you want them later, I'll give them to you again. But in Galatians chapter 2, they show us that Peter went to the circumcision and Paul went to the uncircumcision. They had a parallel ministry in the book of Acts. And then the people that died out that believed what Peter was preaching, that gospel of the kingdom, that's what they died with. Everybody knew that was saved going forward was saved the same way that you and I are. But this dispensation covers the book of Romans to Philemon. I know that I've done this before, but for the sake of going back through here again, go to Romans chapter number 1 and Philemon, the book of Philemon or Philemon. When I was preaching in Belize, I kept calling it Philemon, and nobody knew what I was talking about. And finally somebody said, do you mean Philemon? Yep. The one I mean, Philemon. So get those two, if you would, in your hand and put them between your fingers. Go to Romans chapter number 1 and then the book of Philemon, and hold those between your fingers like this. I've done this 2 or 3 times before, but it always, I believe, is a pretty powerful illustration here of what we're talking about. Again, all these different time periods and covenants and all these things, it's God dealing with a people, the nation of Israel. We are a mystery time period. And so if you hold those between your fingers, that is the books of the Bible that are strictly for the church age. The dispensation of the grace of God that we're talking about right now, that we're about to get into, these are the books that deal. The rest of your Bible is about God, a kingdom, the nation of Israel, His people, the Jews, and this is us right here. We're a mystery time period. God put Israel on the shelf. He saved Paul. And these are all the books that Paul wrote to the church. Paul did write another book, the book of Hebrews, and I talked about that before, that he wrote that to the Jews, but that was not written to us. Now, there's 3 applications of all Scripture. There's historical, it actually took place, and there's historical proof of those things and historical application. For example, the book of James was historically written to everybody that scattered after the stoning of Stephen. That book of James was written to those tribes, they're all Jews, that were scattered abroad. So he wrote that letter to them to encourage them to stay faithful, to stay in the doctrine that they had learned until the end, remain faithful, do right, help your brother out. They're under persecution. And he encourages them to do right, help each other out, which is all the things they have to do in order to make it through that time. And then, doctrinally speaking, it's written to those that will be going through the tribulation. There will be another scattering during the tribulation. And they have to help each other out. And my dad's going to cover all those things in great detail when he goes over that. And that, but spiritually speaking, the book of James can be applied to us. There's all kind of spiritual truth in there that will help us to be a better Christian. Every book of the Bible, no matter who it's written to or who it's written by, tells us things about God. Attributes of God. Who He is. There's so much we can learn from those. And we make a big mistake whenever we take those Romans to Philemon and say these are the only books that we can do anything with. We make a huge mistake when we do that. We can use every book of the Bible, every word in the Bible to make spiritual application to help us. Preachers will preach out of all over. I'm going to be preaching out of Matthew this morning, Matthew chapter 25. And that is dealing with the tribulation in the kingdom. But there's spiritual application that could be made out of every one of those verses that'll help us in our Christian life. There's some people that believe that only the prison epistles, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, books like that apply to the church. And they take that thing way too far and they mess up a lot of their doctrine. So it covers Romans to Philemon, all right? The dispensation of the grace of God. It begins with the conversion of Paul in Acts chapter number 9. Right, God saves Paul. Something's about to change. And I keep saying this because I think of all these things, but I've got to stay the course. There's so many directions you can go in this conversation. So, look with me in 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. There's some verses you can write down there. Acts chapter number 9, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 through 6. We're not going to look at all these, but we'll look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 1, and look at me in verse number 12. Paul made several comments in his writings alluding to the fact that he was the first one that God gave this dispensation of this mystery, the dispensation of the grace of God, the church age to. He makes several references to that he's the first one. So before Paul, no one was saved the way that we are. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now, a lot of times we want to take that chief and say that he was the biggest sinner, but he was the first one that was saved during our time. The way that we're saved, look at verse number 16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me, what? First. Now, was Paul the first one ever saved in any dispensation? No, there was other people that were saved in different, the way that God dealt with them. But something changed with Paul. In me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. It begins with the conversion of Paul in Acts chapter number 9. Paul said there, of whom I am chief, he said that in me first, he was the first one. All right? It ends with the rapture of the church, which is the body of Christ. It ends with the rapture of the church. There's several verses you can write down that go along with that as well, and I'm not going to look at them all. Again, I told you I try to pick up speed during this time. I'd like to get all this done in the next couple weeks so my dad has plenty of time before we start with Brother Gaddis' study. And you know all these verses. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 55. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. You know those verses. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13, all the way through 5, 13. You can go all the way through there, but specifically for your paper, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. Behold, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, ye saw or not, even as others which have no hope. These are all verses that talk about us being raptured out. There's many pictures in the Bible in other places of the church being raptured out. John the Baptist, when he is on the Isle of Patmos, or John the Revelator, whenever he is there on the Isle of Patmos, and he gets taken up right before God shows him the tribulation. And those are pictures of the rapture of the church. You can find types and pictures of the body of Christ and the church all through the Bible. When you read about the sun and the moon being created all the way in Genesis, you're reading pictures of Jesus Christ and the church. There's pictures all through there. In Song of Solomon, that could be a picture, spiritual application of Jesus Christ and the church. But doctrinally speaking, it's talking about God and Israel. All right? But there's pictures all through there. And that's why we can preach those things. And just as somebody preaches, sometimes as a pastor or a preacher, you don't have time to fully explain where we're at doctrinally before you preach a spiritual message. But you can understand that once you rightly divide and understand your Bible. And all right, so this time is also known as the time of the Gentiles. All right, that's of Romans 11, verse 25, which I read when we started off. All right, the plan of salvation during this time period is, let me see what I want to do here. All right, this dispensation covenant is called a mystery time period in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 through 6. A mystery time period. Let's go look at that real quick. I got 10 minutes. Ephesians chapter 3, and look at verse number 3 through 6. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 through 6. How that by revelation he made known unto me, Paul, the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. That's verse number 7 also. And so this was given to Paul and was not revealed to anybody else. You won't be able to find the church in the Gospels. You'll find pictures and types. Don't get me wrong. You'll find pictures and types. But doctrinally, you won't find them in the Gospels. You won't find the church in the Old Testament. It is a mystery that nobody knew about until God revealed it to Paul. Whenever the Old Testament prophets look down through the ages, there's a picture that Clarence Larkin does on this, looks down through the ages, he sees the nation of Israel. He sees Christ dying on the cross for Israel. He sees God dealing with the nation of Israel in the tribulation. He sees the millennial kingdom. He sees eternity. He sees all those things. And he doesn't see the church. In Clarence Larkin's drawing, I wish I'd put it up here, but it shows all these mountain peaks. Christ dying on the cross, the tribulation, the millennium, the eternal reign of Christ. And there's a dip right after Calvary that comes back up. And in that dip is the dispensation of the grace of God by which we're saved today, the mystery that was given to Paul. It was not revealed to anybody else. And that's why I don't believe the pearl of great price in Matthew is the church. People preach it as the church all the time. It's fine to preach as a picture of the church. Christ died for the church. He gave Himself for the church. He bought the church with His blood. That's fine as a spiritual application, but that is not the church. That's Israel. And so it's not found. I believe these verses show us these things. And again, there's a lot of other verses. And I know some of you that have studied this, there's other verses running through your mind too as we go through here. All right, so it's a mystery time period. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 through 29, we find the gospel, the grace of God, is what is preached during this time. And you can just write down. We're not going to go look at all these. I need to finish up. Colossians 1, 25 through 29, the gospel of the grace of God, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is what is preached during this time. That's how somebody's saved. And if a Jew wants to get saved today, he's got to do it the same way you and I do. He's got to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for his sins and ask Him to save him, and God will save him just like He will you and I. All right, another verse you can write down to go along with that. It's not on your paper, but Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 12. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 12. All right, the plan of salvation. The plan of salvation is grace plus faith. We know that Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For by grace you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know those verses there, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9. All right, we are given eternal security. We cannot lose our salvation. We are sealed until the day of redemption. There's so many verses to look at, but just write these down as we finish up. Philippians chapter 1, 6. And there's a lot of other verses you can write down on this. All right, I got so many notes here. This time is also referred to as the long suffering of our Lord in 1 Timothy 12, or 1, 12 through 16. I'm not going to go over all that right now. All right. Man's disobedience during this time is the rejection of grace. It's the rejection of accepting what Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. It's not getting saved. If they're going to disobey today, I tell you one way you can disobey today in this area of the plan of salvation for our time period is try to get saved like the Jews were doing it before. Go sell everything you have and, you know, try to get to heaven that way. Try to do good work. We ask somebody today, are you saved? Yes. Why are you saved? Because I'm a good person. Well, where do they get some of that from? Some of that's found in the Bible. They read where they have to be a good person. They read in James where they got to help each other out. Well, I'm a good person. They would give you the shirt off their back. Well, that's what they need to do in the book in the tribulation. We read that in James. That's what they have to do to be saved. But right now, it's accept what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, and that's it. But there's people today trying to be saved like the Jews were, and they have Bible for it, but they don't understand their Bible. They don't rightly divide. So it's a rejection of grace. Galatians 3, 1 through 3, and Galatians 5, 1 through 4. Another part of man's disobedience is apostasy. The church goes into apostasy. And we are full-fledged. And I pray that our church is not. I know our church even today, the church from 100 years ago, would probably look at us and think that we're a bunch of wicked, you know, compromising, whatever. But the church as a whole has gone into apostasy. I mean, they're accepting whatever. And there's people that are saved. They're just as saved as you and I are. But man, they have gone in a different direction. And the church goes into apostasy. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, and 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 5. God's judgment, one is the law of sowing and reaping. Galatians 6, 7. God put the law of sowing and reaping into place a long time ago. But when it comes to apostasy, you're going to reap what you sow. And that's a whole other message that could be preached. Another part of the judgment is the judgment seat of Christ. This is reserved for the church age. Paul tells us about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 through 17. We are all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of what we have done for God since we've been saved. And so the judgment seat of Christ, and those that are not saved will end up in an eternal lake of fire. Those that are not saved, when Christ comes back, they're going to end up in the tribulation. And that is not a place that you want to be at all. The Bible also tells us that God will send a strong delusion to those who believe not. A strong delusion. And the key thing to that is that they did not believe. And I'm going to say that I'm not going to say it's impossible, because I don't know. But according to some of these scriptures we have, I don't know if somebody doesn't get saved today that they make it. I don't know. But also, they're going to be sent a strong delusion. And so they're going to go into the tribulation, and they're going to be messed up in their mind. That's a dangerous thing. That's found in 2 Thessalonians 2, 11 through 12. All right. And so the next one that we're going to cover next week, I'm going to try to finish, Lord willing, next week. Again, because I'm going to run through the tribulation without trying to make too many comments, because my dad's going to go into detail on it here in a few weeks, if he's ready in a few weeks, and try to go through here. So, does anybody have any questions or comments on any of this? Is it helping anybody? All right, Dad. Yeah, that's right. Yep. Yeah. And Elijah went up in a whirlwind. God, Moses did die, but the Bible said that God himself buried him, and nobody knows where he's at, but then he shows up two more times in the Bible. He might have just taken his body up with him. So, all right, anybody else? Man, talk about Moses and Elijah preaching during the tribulation. I think the Lord will let us watch it. Anybody else have any questions? Has this been helpful to anybody? Amen. Amen. All right. Well, every time you get up and teach and stuff, you want to actually help somebody, not just up here wasting time. So, all right, Lord, thank you for loving us, God.